Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we eagerly await your return. Lord, we eagerly await the fulfillment of your promise. Lord, as we wait, sustain us. Keep us clinging to you, listening to your Spirit, following your commands, and trusting in your word, your very word that you have placed before us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in a season of waiting, this Advent season. So a question that comes to mind is, how long are you willing to wait for someone before you realize they aren't coming? Go back before the days of technology. You know, now we can open up our phones and we can track people real time instantly where they are, or we can get on there and say, hey, where are you at? And they'll respond quickly. But go back to the times before all that, and we did a lot of waiting and wondering. But we always had this mental cutoff point, right? This point where we said, okay, I've waited long enough, I'm not waiting, I'm leaving. I sat in countless fast food parking lots wondering and waiting if my friends were going to show up. I thought they said 7. I thought they said Whataburger. But the longer you wait, the more you wonder. And then you get to that cutoff point where you say, all right, I'm out. They're not coming. And even today, we have all this technology and all these gifts we can use, but even today, we still have that mental cutoff point. Enough time passes, we assume the other person got busy, they got distracted, maybe they just simply innocently forgot, or in the worst of circumstances, maybe they just completely changed their mind. Maybe they stopped caring about meeting. Maybe they decided just to intentionally go do something else. Now, to add a little levity to the moment, I found this Far Side cartoon here. Folks remember Far Side? The desk calendar? Thank you, Patrick. One person. I love Far Side. So you have this astronaut here. He's on the moon. He's reading a letter. There's a rocket leaving in the top left, and the letter reads, "Dear Henry, where were you? We waited and waited, but finally decided that..." I left him on the moon. That's what we do, right? As human beings, we wait long enough and we learn, all right, I'm through waiting. Let's get out of here. Let's go do something else. Peter's letter, 2 Peter we heard read this morning, it mentioned time. And ever since time became a thing in our world to order life, we've been very sensitive to it. We've given it a lot of attention, maybe even obsessed over it. Think about how many times you look at a clock in your daily life. And as we go through life, we get more experience with time, how long things should take. And we also have more experience with when we've waited too long, when time's up and it's time to move on. And the reality is we're always waiting for something. But in this text, the apostle Peter, he spoke about one specific moment, and he called it the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, the last day. The last day in this created world as it is, where our Lord Jesus has promised to return, and it's going to be in glory, the sounds of trumpets, the accompaniment of angels. And it says he's coming back here, and every eye is going to see it. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is in fact Savior, Messiah, Lord of lords, King of kings. Think for a moment about how long it has been that this gospel story has played out. Christ was there at the beginning of creation, and thousands of years this gospel story has spread across, and God said the Messiah, he's coming into the world. And so the Messiah came into the world as a baby in the most unassuming, unexpected way. He grew into a man, about somewhere in his 30s. He taught, he preached, he performed some amazing, miraculous things, and then he died. And then 3 days of waiting again. But then he rose back to life, the risen Lord, just like God had promised. But then he ascended. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father with the promise of coming back again. So right now, we're in the middle of thousands of years of waiting for the return of the Messiah. So much time for doubt and uncertainty to creep into the heart and mind of a believer. When you wait long enough, you start to doubt. And the waiting keeps happening, you eventually do what? You check out. You go do something else. You find something else that makes more sense. You find something that responds to your needs more. But here's the thing. We are hemmed in by time. God is not. My delay, your delay, is an indication of possible failure. But when it comes to God, his delay is not an indication of failure. It does not mean his promises in Christ Jesus are not to come. No, Peter made it very clear that God operates in time quite different than we do. Peter said that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Hey, you and I, we're contained by the implications of time and the constraints of time, but God simply is not. His delay, as we know delay, is not a failed promise. It's rather something very, very different. His delay is a confirmation of love. His delay is a confirmation of love. Peter wrote about this, verse 9. He said, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." See, the delayed return of Christ is not a matter of God got bored, God doesn't care, God got busy, God forgot, God changed his mind about you in this whole eternal salvation thing. God's delay is not an indication of that. God's delay is all on account of love. That all, as the text said, that all would repent and turn to him. You know, I hear from families in this community right here in this church, I hear all the time stories about how their loved ones, their family members, are not in the faith. They've either departed from a faith that they learned early on as a kid, or they never really got on board with it. But either way, that family member does not believe in Jesus. That family member is not a disciple yet. That family member is not a disciple yet. One of the reasons Christ delays his return is the hope that that family member, that dearly loved brother and sister, aunt and uncle, niece and nephew, grandchild, would hear the Holy Spirit and have their hearts changed and come to believe and have the promise of eternal life. God's delay is on account of love. Now, that doesn't mean that waiting is easy. It doesn't mean that things are easy while we're waiting. Peter, if we go to the text ahead of what we read in chapter 3, we go to the one ahead of it, the start of chapter 3, he talks about scoffers. He said that while you're waiting, there's going to be scoffers. They're going to come in the last days scoffing, following their own sinful desires, and they're going to say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Peter is warning us that there would be voices of opposition, voices of doubt, haters amongst us that want nothing more than to turn the promise of Christ's return into a lie, into a joke, into a failure. And with the more time that passes, the more risk that the words of these scoffers start to sound valid. The more time that Christ delays, there's this great temptation that we can hear those words and go, maybe they're right. Maybe this is all just a fairy tale. Maybe Jesus isn't coming back. Maybe Jesus doesn't even exist. We know these voices in the world. It's not hard to find voices, scoffers, that are talking against the gospel. And there is no greater scoffer than the devil himself. The devil wants nothing more than to worm his way into our lives and plant seeds of doubt and skepticism and uncertainty about the return of Christ. The devil loves to look at his watch and go, "Oh my goodness, it's been 2,000 years. Do you really think he's still coming back? And for you, do you know how you've lived? It's time to be realistic. Jesus isn't coming back. If there is a God, he's moved on from you. That's the lies the devil likes to spit into our lives. But here's the thing. This book right here. This book right here is the very word of God. It's the sacred scriptures that we open up and we cling to when we find the truth of God's word. And it's God's word. Timothy said every single word in here is breathed out by God. God worked through some faithful servants to pen these words onto paper, but every word is his. Nothing was cleverly invented. Nothing was manufactured or cooked up with the idea of tricking people or deceiving people or misleading people. No, every word in here is the very word of God. And Peter tells us that the authors, the hands that wrote the words of God on these pages were eyewitnesses to his majesty. These New Testament authors, they were with Jesus. They saw him. They saw him heal the sick, give sight to a man that had been blind his entire life. They saw him straighten out legs that were bent and broken. They saw him feed thousands with just a few fish and bread. They saw him walk on water. They saw him call dead people back to life. And they heard him speak the very words of promise of his return, the very words of promise that we cling to today. They were there. They heard it. They saw it. And all throughout the scriptures, you can find God making a promise, committing to that promise, and then fulfilling that promise. God said, I am sending my son into the world. And he did. We can even look in our own lives. Matthew 28, Jesus said, surely I'm with you until the very end of the age. Look in your own life. You can draw forward moments where you are absolutely certain God was there. God was caring for you. God was loving you. God was providing for you. God was leading you. God was protecting you. You are eyewitnesses to God's promises. So as the disciples have done for centuries, we as disciples today, we joyfully and eagerly await his return. We joyfully and eagerly await the fulfillment of the promise. And what is that promise? Peter spoke of it in verse 13. The promise of the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We're waiting for the promised life to come. The life where there will be no more sin, no more fighting, no more division, no more hatred, no more murder, no more death, no more adultery, no more lust. None of that. All the things we struggle with and tangle with today that makes life so difficult, it's going to be gone. That eternal life. It's what we are waiting for. And if God has promised it, then it's going to happen. Friends, the world around us is going to say whatever it wants. Seems something new. Every time the wind changes direction, the world follows along with whatever that wind tells it to and believes and proclaims whatever. Let them do it. We can't change that tide. But what we can do is cling to this right here. The very word of God. We can keep coming back to the absolute certainty that is on these pages, the very words that God put here. And we keep coming back here to this place, this house of worship, this sanctuary that God created, that God has sustained, that God has assembled. And we receive the gifts like the Lord's Supper that God gives us over and over and over to strengthen our faith. And we keep welcoming the work of the Holy Spirit in leading us to repentance, in leading us to restoration, and in defending us against the schemes of the devil. Our last verse read this morning, verse 14, ended with the word peace. Our children's program was focused on the word peace. We find this peace in Christ when we abide in the Lord while we're waiting, when we remain in His Word, when we continue to worship Him, when we daily pray to Him, when we are in fellowship with one another, leaning on each other when things get particularly difficult. We find a peace that you just cannot find anywhere else. It's the peace of Christ Jesus that we celebrate this Christmas and every Christmas and every day for that matter. No question about it, our Lord Jesus coming back. It says it in here. We believe it. It will happen. When? Nobody knows, right? But while we wait, we proclaim Christ crucified and risen. We proclaim the one who saves man from eternal death so that more may come to believe in Him, so that more may know Jesus as we know Him, as Savior, as Messiah, as the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the great I am. May we continue to proclaim in joy the crucified and risen Lord until His great return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this gift of faith at which You have given us by Your Spirit. Lord, there is simply nothing more valuable, nothing to be treasured more than this gift of faith. And Lord, we cling to Your word of promise, Your word of promise of being with us now, and Your word of promise of coming back to take us to be with You forever. Lord, strengthen us as we wait. Fill us with Your joy and Your peace as we eagerly look for the return of Your Son. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.